Yes, it's your love that is gingering me, and without your love, I won't be able to continue with this podcast. Or more, you guys, when I love, now they ginger me. You welcome and thank you for joining me on today's episode of Talk More with Nessa, and this is the Love Notes and Vibes segment or episode. Welcome and thank you for joining me. It is Thursday, and on Thursdays is when I have every episode of the Love Notes and Vibe episode. So on today's episode, first of all, before I move for that amazing song you're listening to is by Rema, Ginger Me. Who is gingering you currently? Come on, you can tell me anyways. In case you want to write to me, you can email me at nessasoleis@yahoo.com or join me on Twitter, follow, ask your questions, let's be friends. And my handle on Twitter, by the way, is @awesome_ness2. Yes. @awesome_ness2. The Ness is NESS and then 2. So, welcome once again, and thank you for joining me on today's episode of Love Notes and Vibes. Rema is gingering me, and I'm about to get into the topic for today, which is, you already know, how to build emotional intimacy with your partner. And this includes for relationships that are long distance, close distance, near distance, whatever form of distance. You can practice some of my tips, and it's going to, you know, work some magic in your relationship. Oh, and in case it's your first time of being in love, just like Rema said also, you can apply some of my tips. Okay, let's get into the good stuff, because I know you're already wondering what I'm up to. First of all, what is emotional intimacy? We mostly talk about different types of intimacy in relationships. We have the intellectual intimacy, emotional intimacy, sexual intimacy, recreational intimacy. But today, it is the emotional intimacy I will be talking about. So when we discuss intimacy in a romantic partnership or relationship, what often comes to mind are the physical acts such as holding hands, cuddling, kissing, and even sex, which is actually not it. Now, while physical intimacy is integral in any romantic partnership, it is one of the primary factors that sets it apart from any other type of relationship that fosters emotional intimacy. And it's just, it's important, because without emotional intimacy, you are not going to have that solid foundation. You know, when you build a house, the foundation comes first. And if the foundation is not solid, the house is just going to come crumbling down. So, to crumble, same thing with a relationship. Without emotional intimacy, your relationship is likely to fail. Now, what is emotional intimacy? It could be defined as allowing yourself to connect more deeply with your partner through actions such as expressing yourself, being vulnerable, trusting them, you know. And if you're not able to be vulnerable, trust or express yourself with someone that you are with, then there's something wrong in the foundation of your relationship. Because emotional intimacy is the bedrock of every solid relationship, except in situations. Okay, that is why you notice that in situationships, yeah, or friends with benefits kind of partnerships, there is no solid attachment, because there is no emotional intimacy. Everything is mostly sexual, and it's sexual, and everyone is just, you know, just trying to satisfy themselves and just work away. Nothing serious that is holding them together. Ultimately, emotional intimacy creates a deep sense of security, because in situationships, you don't feel secure. You're always feeling the person is not receptive to your feelings, so there's no need expressing them. But when it comes to a serious relationship, emotional intimacy helps you to create this security within the relationship, and the ability to also be fully yourself. I mean, fully yourself. You can fart in front of this person. You can laugh and say silly things. You don't feel like they're going to judge you. So, all of this. So, how then do you build emotional intimacy in your relationship? Ways that you can immediately improve or build emotional intimacy. Number one, learn to be strategically vulnerable in order to earn your partner's trust. Even if you've spent a lot of time with somebody, sometimes it's difficult to break down your personal walls. Sometimes you may not even know that you have walls up, but you have walls up actually. You may not be aware, but you actually do have walls up. So you can't force somebody to actually become vulnerable, but you can go out of your way to be vulnerable with them, especially if this is somebody that you love. There's one episode I did on my podcast and I talked about different types of people in relationships, and we have the avoidance. The avoidance are not used to, you know, being receptive to love due to how they were raised or something in their upbringing. So they always try to run away from love. So if you are with a partner like that and they are finding it kind of difficult to be vulnerable to you, but you know that they love you, you can learn to show them, learn to tell them, learn to show them that you can be vulnerable with them. They can trust you. And over time, they start to embody the same thing that you're trying to show to them. So it's like a mirror. They mirror you over time. Now, the practice of strategic vulnerability is critically important, because instead of trying to be vulnerable in every area of your life, pick one place to start with. This could translate to sharing something that happened to you at work, something that's stressing you out, something that happened in your friendship circle, expressing a feeling that you've had in the past that's been hard for you to share, or revealing a fact about yourself that you've been holding on to that they are not even aware of. It could be something that you've never told anybody about. So share it with them. If you are able to tell them these things, if you're able to share such things with them, it lets them know that you trust them enough to be able to, you know, open up and tell them all of these things. And over time, they reciprocate their act as well. And you're building your emotional intimacy that way, little by little. Another way you can also build your emotional intimacy with your partner is giving them daily affirmations and compliments. I'm a huge fan of, you know, affirming, compliment. I love to give compliments. I love to affirm. And I also love to reassure people. So if you are able to do all of these things, compliment them, whether it's a 6-month relationship or a 2-month relationship, whatever number of years or months you've been together, it's easy to take your partner's positive attributes for granted. But sometimes you have to learn to stop doing that. Don't take them for granted. Instead, express how much you love and appreciate all of those positive attributes that they have. Making a habit of giving specific compliments and affirmations to your partner can help you keep perspective as to why this person is special to you. If you are finding it difficult to remember why you were attracted to somebody, sit down and think of all of their positive attributes. Write down all of the things that they've done for you, that you love, or, you know, characters they've shown that you actually like. It could be how patient they are, it could be how clean they are, it could be how good they are with handling emotions. It could be the way they advise you, it could be how smart they are, it could be things that they do. Just verbally express all of these in thanks, in affirmations, and in compliments when you write them down. So you never want your partner to feel invisible because you forgot to share appreciation. Because sometimes your partner knows you love them, but they want you to verbalize it. Say it. Now, these verbal affirmations can be simple as saying, "I want you to know how deeply I love you." Or, "Oh, I appreciate that time you got me my favorite food because you knew I was having a terrible day." Whatever it is, just verbalize it. When you say it, it helps them to do more of it, especially men. Men love when they are appreciated. In fact, don't let me say especially men. I mean, everyone loves when they are appreciated. So learn to verbally affirm, learn to compliment, thank them and let them know how wonderful it is to be in their lives and to have them in your life as well. Moving on to another way that you can build emotional intimacy, make an effort to break out of your day-to-day routine. I mean, life gets very busy and it's easy to hit a comfort zone in your relationship. And this is in stark contrast to the beginning of a relationship when everything we do seems new and exciting. You know, we go above and beyond for our partners. We want to let them know that, yeah, I got you. I'm here. You know, the honeymoon phase. But like someone said to me, It said, you don't stop. It said, some people act like politicians. I mean, they stop campaigning after elections, but he says he won't stop campaigning even after he has won an election. And that's what good politicians do. They keep, you know, doing great, putting the people in consideration. So same thing applies to your relationship. Don't stop campaigning after you've won the election. The election in this contest is your partner. After you've won their heart, don't stop doing everything that you did to win their heart. Still go on dates. Even in marriages, you're advised to constantly go on dates. Do everything you were doing while you were courting them, because it helps to keep the love alive. It makes the spark not go dim. So if you, you know, for example, you can get them their favorite food, take them out on a date, go for ice cream and a stroll, go to the movies and see a movie, and, you know, give them flowers. Just gift them. It doesn't have to be expensive, but just do all of those things you were doing during the courtship period, because it's incredibly important that you make time for your partner to express love to them the way you did while in the beginning of the relationship. Also, learn to share happy moments with your partner. Relationships can be turbulent. In fact, not just happy moments. Learn to share every moment with your partner. Share everything with them. Don't hold back. I think that also has to do with vulnerability that I mentioned the first time. All of this will help you to build emotional intimacy with your partner. And when you have solid emotional connection with your partner, it makes your relationship to last long. It's just like when you're building a house and the foundation is very rock solid. When the winds come, it's not going to take down your house. Your house is going to hold. Emotional intimacy is the first thing after you're attracted to somebody and you decide to date them that you actually need to start working on. Because when your emotional intimacy with your partner is only 100% or close to 100, then every other thing can follow. You can start, you know, discovering the sexual intimacy, intellectual intimacy, and every other form of intimacy that's involved in a relationship. Okay, and that's all for today on Love Notes and Vibes. I hope that you are going to go out this week and start practicing some of these things, these steps or tips, and work on building stronger emotional intimacy with your partner, because emotional intimacy is very vital in every relationship. Until another episode of Love Notes and Vibe, keep loving, keep vibing, and stay happy. I love you. Thank you. Hi, amazing. Welcome and thank you for joining me on today's episode of Mental Health Monday. It's so good to have you with me on today's episode, and I hope you had a wonderful weekend. Hope you're ready for the new week and you're, you know, energized to face the week ahead. So very quickly, on today's episode of Mental Health Monday, I'll be discussing tiredness and types of tiredness. Very often we yearn and then we say, oh, I'm tired. Or very often we're so stressed out we work and then we exclaim, oh, I'm tired, oh, I'm tired. But sometimes our tiredness is actually as a result of one thing or the other. But mostly we attach tiredness to physical exhaustion. When you're physically tired, you say when you're physically, you know, weary or weak, you say you're tired. Sometimes there's more to this tiredness, and there are types of tiredness that comes that people experience. And so I will be discussing the types of tiredness that you could actually experience and how to combat or deal with them. By the way, don't mind the chickens. Recording or actually being a creator in Nigeria is not easy, because sometimes you have so many distractions, but I hope that you're with me. Okay, so first things first, like I mentioned, there are different types of tiredness, and the first one is emotional tiredness. This one is when you're going through something that is emotionally exhausting, and you feel this kind of tiredness because you're not feeling yourself emotionally. Maybe someone hurt you, or you're actually even empathizing with someone who is hurting. So it could be as a result of this. So this can cause you emotional tiredness. And you can become emotionally tired when you're dealing with emotions of other people, your own emotions, because it leaves you drained and having a large output of emotional labor. Our own emotional ups and downs can also take up energy, takes up space and time. However, what can be more tiring than dealing with our own difficult emotions is the energy drain that can come from suppressing the feelings or not dealing with the feelings that are there. So when you feel emotionally tired, you need to address those feelings. You need to, you know, sit with the feelings, talk about how and why it is hurting you, then look for ways that you can work through it. Don't just suppress them, don't just ignore them, because those feelings are there for you to acknowledge or recognize that, oh, I'm here. So when you're able to recognize and acknowledge their presence, you are able to figure out a solution on how to deal with it. Now, another type of fatigue or tiredness is the physical fatigue. And we often expect a lot from our bodies, and this is why we face physical fatigue, because we're expecting to, you know, sit for hours and then sleep for, say, 2 hours or 3 hours, wake up and you expect your body to be there again, to be active, to, you know, be as strong and healthy as it was like. No, you can compare someone who rests well with someone who doesn't rest well. If you need a normal human being, should I say normal? Okay, every human being needs 8 hours of sleep, at least 8 hours of sleep. Forget what these motivational speakers tell you that only lazy people sleep. You need sleep, because it's when you sleep that your body is able to, you know, rebuild back on all that it has lost during the day. So if you don't rest well, if you don't sleep well, you get physically tired. And also you can get tired from lots of physical activities. Maybe you are doing a job that requires lots of strength, and you're not eating well, you're not sleeping well. Definitely you feel physically tired, and before you know it, you could have a breakdown. We each have a responsibility to honor our own bodies, and a lot of people don't understand this. You have to honor your body, respect your body. This body is working for you now, but you also need to respect it and put in the work for it to continue working for you. Because without you respecting your body, without you giving it time to rest, your body is going to fail you one day. So you need quality time to rest and sleep, exercise, eat healthy food, don't eat lots of sugar, set healthy boundaries. I mean, with work, know when to work, know when to rest. Another type of tiredness is mental fatigue. This is when your brain uses up a significant amount of your body's energetic resources. Have you seen The Queen's Gambit on Netflix? Stanford professor of neurology Robert Sapolsky, I don't know if I pronounced that right, said that chess grandmasters can burn 6,000 calories a day in tournament. Now, mental exercise requires endurance, and the amount of decision making, the changes, all the strategies, the stress, the uncertainty, the focus and thinking that your brain has to go through to do this every year requires a lot of energy. That is for those chess players, by the way. So before getting frustrated with yourself when you're having a hard time making decisions, solving problems, thinking or planning, it can help for you to first of all check in to see if your brain is tired, and if it is tired and you need time to rest. Because let's be realistic, you are using your cognitive resources, and your cognitive resources also need a break so that your brain can function properly. Another type of tiredness is the social fatigue, where you can become tired from too much social interaction with people. Sometimes it can be too little interaction, or it could be not engaging in a kind of social interaction that actually aligns with your personality. That's why sometimes you find people going to parties and then they're standing there because they're not feeling it. It's not the kind of crowd they want to be around. So if you are being socially tired, if you are being bored at parties, it could be that you're socially tired. Being socially tired can also involve your virtual interactions. It could include your use of social media. How long do you stay on the internet? How long are you on Twitter? Twitter is actually addictive, by the way. How long are you on Instagram? You know, all of those involvement in social, political, or global movements. Loneliness can also contribute to fatigue and can be experienced in the body as stress, and this spreads itself amongst too many people. Communications with others also uses up your energetic resources, so social fatigue can also be brought on even by one energy vampire who might be draining you. So if you are constantly feeling tired around a particular group of people, a particular person, if they are draining you socially, maybe it's time you withdraw a little from them, because you might be experiencing social fatigue. You might be experiencing fatigue because they are draining you of your energy. And the last type of fatigue is soul exhaustion. If you are feeling all of the types of fatigue that I've mentioned above, or you start feeling like your fatigue is coming from a deep place within that is hard to describe, this could be tiredness on the soul level. You know, there's some kind of tiredness that you can't place it. You don't know if it's emotional tiredness, you don't know if it's physical, or if it is social tiredness, whatever kind of tiredness. It could be that your soul is actually tired, and it's actually natural, because it's a natural part of our soul's growth and learning process. Like the way a spiritual crisis can lead to a spiritual awakening, soul exhaustion can be an important time for you to, you know, have a rebirth, have some reflection. So soul exhaustion is not an easy experience, but our souls are resilient, and it's okay for our souls to be tired at times, especially with all that's happening in the world. It's it's okay to not be okay sometimes, but it's also important to remember that we can feel tired not just from doing too much, but from a lack of engagement in things that are meaningful and purposeful to us on the soul level. So remember, these types of tiredness are not always bad. No, they can be natural cycles and human experience. Sometimes fatigue can come after a big accomplishment, because me, on a personal level, I get so excited and eventually tired when I'm anticipating something. For example, when I was little, I remember that when I have new clothes, like for Christmas, I'm so excited. I'm looking forward to that day when I can finally wear the clothes. That when it comes, when Christmas comes eventually, by the way, I get tired. I can't even eat, not because I'm not hungry, but because I'm too happy from happiness, from joy. So, and when you don't eat, your body's definitely going to get weak. So, experiences, what I'm trying to say is that these experiences are sometimes normal, but you also have to learn ways to cope. In life, we're not trying to avoid being tired, no. And we're not trying to avoid tiredness. That is not it. Just try not to be hard on yourself for being tired whenever you feel tired. So anytime you feel the stress of tiredness, relax, figure out the kind of tiredness that it is, and then look for a way that you can get over it, okay? We are trying to avoid levels of exhaustion that are unhealthy, and we also do not want to go through life feeling tired all of the time, because we need energy, positive energy, you know, powerful energies, not the low vibrational kind of energies. We also want to be careful of not normalizing or glorifying the experience of being tired, and we don't want to use tiredness as an excuse for lack of productivity or success. We also need to be aware that persistent fatigue can be a symptom of depression, because sometimes when you're constantly tired, it could be a sign of mild or, you know, serious depression, and you need to talk to a professional for that to get support. All of these types of tiredness that I've mentioned in today's episode of my podcast can be overwhelming. So be patient with yourself. Take it easy with yourself. Take a moment to try to understand your tiredness before you make assumptions. Because when you understand what you're dealing with, it will help you to get the kind of rest that you need. And I hope you go into this new week, you know, trying to take it easy on yourself. And I also want you to remember that you did the very best you could do last week. So take it easy on yourself this week. Do the best you can. In fact, you're doing the best you can in this moment already. So don't over-exert yourself or overwork, you know. Just take it easy. Don't put in too much than you can actually carry. Don't overload yourself with work. Rest when you need to rest. Sleep when you need to sleep. Don't go home with you know, more work. Learn to have a boundary between work and home. Have that boundary. When you're home, you're home, you relax, you eat, and you just stay happy and cheerful. And when you're at work, you put in your best. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, because without you, there will be no podcast. Do have a wonderful rest of the week. And I hope it's going to be a beautiful one for you.